welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
We would like to welcome our online class to Jehovah Jireh International Institution. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we are going to begin our class for tonight. Yes, I'm very excited about what God has given us, our gender. And we want tonight to begin to talk about our commission and our compassion. And then next week we're going to begin with our concern as being a believer, as being a soul winner for Christ, as being an ambassador for the kingdom of God. For the word of God said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I'm just so glad that we have people with compassion that are interested in it. God has given a life-changing experience for them to want to be involved in mission and evangelism. To be truthful, I just believe that every person that are saved and have come into the knowledge of Him, that they too have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. So today we want to begin speaking on, first of all, on commission. But before that, we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you. God, we just thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We truly thank you because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And thy word, how we hear it in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. We thank you, God, for every student of Jehovah Jireh International Institution. And I pray, God, even now, that you empower them. God, that you would keep their minds and their heart geared towards a winning soul for the kingdom of God and ministering to your people. And God, giving them what you have given, giving them, God, what you have given to reach a masses of people. God, do it even now. And Father, we thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, again, we'd like to welcome our online class to Jehovah Jireh International Institution. And we're going to talk tonight about our commission. And I would like to just to remind you of the scripture from Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Again, that is taken from Matthew, the 28th chapter, 18 through the 20th verse. Yes, we have a commission. Yes, God has given us a commission as a believer to go forth unto the hedges and go forth unto the highway. God told us even in the New Testament, how that we supposed to be those disciples that will go forth and make a difference. Because he tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. And you may see a lot of people that's out there, and there are a lot of people that do not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. They're out in the harvest. But we as laborers have to go forth, and we have to prepare ourselves. And that's our agenda here at Jehovah Jireh International Institution, is to prepare them in order to go forth and to make ambassadors, to make fishers of men, to make men and women of God that would be responsible and well-prepared to do the will of the Father. So therefore, he let us know that we have authority. A person that has authority, they can make a move. They're not standing on the outside, but they're standing on the inside. They have a key. They have power that they can go forth and they can do certain things. Now, the word tells us that go therefore and make disciples of all men. We tell the people, we tell men and women, boys and girls, no matter what the race, color, origin, if we tell them about Christ, then usually, 9 times out of 10, I believe that you're sowing a seed. I believe that these people are going to hear what you are saying, and they're going to give Christ their life. I shared some time ago about a commission. It was a commission, a poem, and I just want to read it to you again, because some things that we need to get in our spirit and some things that we don't need to let it just be for that moment, but some things that we should be able to think about, meditate on, and just be able to share even with others. Well, I would like to read it. It says, give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, a call to conquest or to death, a word to arouse the church from rest, to heed the master's high behest. The call is given, the hosts arise. The watchword is evangelize. To fallen men, a dying race, make known the gift of God, gospel grace. The world that's now in darkness lies, O Church of Christ, evangelize. Do you see how important that is to us as being believers? And as a reminder to let us know, as students, what our role is, how important it is for us to go. And we don't have to be afraid of doing what we do. We don't have to apologize as to what we do because God has given us that authority and he has given us that power. Remember, the word of God says, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the end of the earth. So it doesn't stop at your home. It doesn't stop in your neighborhood. It doesn't stop. Wherever you go, you should be able to take the word of God with you. It's as plain and simple as that. Wherever you go, you need to be able to take the word of God with you. And you want God to be able to lead God and direct you. For the word of God says, all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So therefore, we want Christ to direct our path. We want God to tell us where to go. We don't want to just go anywhere, but we want him to tell us where he wants us to go. Because, yes, there is a great harvest. Yes, there are people that need to be saved. Yes, there are people that need to be delivered. Yes, there are people that need to be made new and become new creatures in Christ, wherein old things will pass away and all things become new. I remember before I came to Christ, I needed Christ in my life so that old things can pass away. Anyone that have not given Christ their life, we need Christ because you know what? There are many people that are living according to their own righteousness, you know, being a do-gooder and doing things, that is not going to get us into heaven. That's not going to get the person that maybe cook meals for you and bring meals over. That's great. That's wonderful. That they accept Christ into their lives, then it's a performance. It's good, but we can't perform our way into heaven, no matter how we try. We have to do it according to God's word. So what I'm saying to you is, class, for you to be prepared to go anywhere, anywhere that you go, there's all more most likely there are people, there are souls that we can reach. And I believe that we should make a habit of consistently, consistently praying that God will give us insight as to what he will have us to do, where he will have us to go, and what he will have us to say. So the word has already said that we should be witnesses. We may not be into here, but we can be a witness for the kingdom of God. At this time, we're going to go to Evangelist William. We're going to give about 3 minutes, and we're going to continue in our discussion for tonight. Evangelist William.
Good afternoon, Dr. McCoy, and all of the listeners under the sound of my voice. Again, I thank God for Blog Talk Radio, for Jehovah Jireh class, because truly it's a blessing, and because the kingdom of God is at hand, and it is time to go forth. At the beginning of Dr. McCoy's class, she said that we were talking about the commission. And we do have a commission. And that takes my mind to the book of Matthew's, when Jesus Christ gave us the Great Commission. And some might say he was talking to his disciples. Well, that's what we are. We're disciples of Christ. And as I think about the Word of God in the book of Matthew, the Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But listen at this. The Bible says, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And just because he is Jesus, just because God gave him the authority, just because he is our Savior, and just because he is the key to salvation, he gave his disciples instruction, which included us. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, when we receive this commission, and I believe I heard Dr. McCoy share a scripture that we are so familiar with, that Jesus himself said. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And that's where we come in at. And we know as witnesses, look around in your neighborhood, or turn on your television and look at the news, or even just look out your front door, and you can see that these are perilous times. Perilous times are here. More than ever, the signs of the time winding down and the sign that Jesus is so soon to come, it is so obvious and it is prevalent that we go forth. The harvest truly is plenteous, as Jesus said, but the laborers are few. That means, you know, when you think about a harvest and you think about a farm or a field, we can use any vegetable for an example. You can think about corn or tomatoes or peas or okra, whatever it is that you plant and whatever it is that you harvest. You know, the Bible talks about wheat more than anything. And you think about all of the wheat in the field. There's a field full of wheat, a whole lot of wheat. But when you break it down and you think about, well, who's going to pick this wheat? Who's going to harvest this wheat? Well, the Bible says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And when you talk in the natural, there's not enough laborers to harvest the wheat. Same thing it is in the spirit realm. When you look around and you see that hell is truly enlarging itself daily, according to the Bible, hell enlarges itself daily. And there may be somebody that don't believe in the lake of fire, but it's real. It's real because it's written, and it's written because God said so. So at the end of the day, we need to get about our Father's business or be about our Father's business. We need to be on our commission. Jesus have already commissioned us to go, and he's already told us that it's more than enough work. There is plenty enough work for us to go forth and do what we need to do. We need to point people to Jesus. We need to let folk know that they don't have to go to the lake of fire, that there is a way out. Their wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it is eternal life. And we need to remember that Jesus went about teaching and saying and preaching, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus said it like this: repent ye and believe the gospel. And because we are saints of God, we're the laborers, and we have a commission, we need to go and tell somebody that it's time to repent, it's time to be saved, it's time to serve the Lord, and we will have less people committing suicide. Like the, you know, I just throw it on my Twitter page, if somebody had told Robin Williams about Jesus, yes, maybe, just maybe, he would have had a chance to eternal life. But you know, and I know, that if a person don't have Jesus Christ, they're subject to do anything. So in my conclusion, it's time to go forth and let people know. And the reason it's time to go forth, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's time for us to go forth into the harvest and let people know that it's time to serve the Lord. It's time to be saved. It's time to confess. It's time to make a change. It's time to make a U-turn. And that would keep a whole lot of people from going in the wrong direction. Again, in my conclusion, they can receive the gift or they can receive the wages. But as people of God and as laborers, we want to turn people on to the gift of God, which is eternal life. Back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
Well, we thank God because of the fact it is so true that there is many that is in the harvest, and there are many people that are saved and proclaim to be saved. And because we proclaim to be saved, and because many of us are saved, we have an obligation, we have a commitment, we have a commission that we go into the harvest. It's so many times I get reminded in my spirit, it comes to my heart, into my mind, about the prophet Jonah, how God has sent him out. He doesn't want to be mean to him. He's not being mean to us. He wants us to get other people saved like we were saved, like we came unto the knowledge of him. It's time for us to not to be stagnated in our walk, but it's time for us to go into the hedges and the highway. And one of the great things about it is that God will prepare us, and God will fill us with his spirit and his power and his anointing. But Acts 1:8 says, it says, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, not one that's going to sit down, not one that's going to close their mouth, not one is going to ignore what's going on. We're going to be witnesses that's going to go for Christ. I believe that in this same verse, it tells us we'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, whatever God sends you, if it is over to another foreign land, we ought to be able to get more people saved. If it's next door, we ought to get them saved. We ought to be concerned. That's why today we're talking about part of our discussion tonight is on a commission. Oh, I know that it is, it may not mean a lot to some people, but to some people that, and I should say many people that are saved and life that has been changed, it should be one of the things that we bless God for and thank God for, that he has commissioned us. Just like certain people may be in the Air Force, or they may be in the Army, the Navy, they may be in the Marine, and they get commissioned. Oh, we have been commissioned as well. We are commissioned because somebody's life is on the line, and it reminds us as how important it was. Yes, it was important for Jonah to go to Nineveh because Christ is getting ready to destroy those people. You know, God was going to destroy them within these 40 days if they didn't repent. But thank God the prophet decided that he was going to go and he was going to tell it and he was going to proclaim. And that is what the difference it will make in this day and this hour. We need to proclaim. We need to go tell it. We need to allow God to use us, not just to be one that reads the word, but we need to literally get up, because a minute time when you think about it, when Jesus talked to the disciples and he talked to people that get healed, he tells them to get up. He talked to a prophet, he told the same thing to Jonah. You know, he told the same thing to other men that he and women of God that he, to rise, and even to those that that he came in contact with after he had shown him his power and showing him mercy and giving them an opportunity to know more about him. So let's get this in our spirit again. The word of God says in Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Ghost inside of us, has come upon you. See, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. And then when it leads us and guides us in all truth, then we can be truly, officially witnesses for the kingdom of God. And we'll go throughout the world, wherever God will send us, because we got nations all around us. It does not mean that it's in Samaria and Egypt and the other part of the world, but it's that. And nations of people are here within the United States of America. There are nations of people in your city. So therefore, it's time for us to do what God says for us to do. If it means that God tells you to go to the end of the earth, then that's where you need to go. You need to go wherever God is sending you in order to make a difference. And then you know what? I like what Christ says in Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 33, I believe, 33:7-8, and it says, so you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. I believe that's powerful. I believe that's something that we ought to take heed to. I think it's something that we need to mark down. I believe that if we know truth, and God has given us truth and showed us truth, and we're walking in truth, that we should give people the truth of God's word. And we should love them so much that we are concerned about their soul. We talked earlier in the class some months ago about caring for people's souls. here we are today. It is August the 18th, and we're still talking about the same thing because we need to be able to care for people's soul, no matter if they're in a three-piece suit, no matter if they're where they are driving a Mercedes Benz, no matter if they have millions in the bank, no matter if they are poor, no matter if they're black or white, no matter if they're in the middle class, we need to care for their soul, no matter who they are. You know, we need to be able to care for their soul. And sometimes people's dispositions turn people off. They, oh, I'm not going to witness to them. They're so mean. I'm not going to witness. These are people that you need to show the love of God. And you need to be careful how you talk to them, because if you talk to them in a way that they're not going to hear you and they're not going to hear anybody else. But the word of God says, with loving kindness have I drawn you. You know what? We can tell people about the word of God and warn them and let them know. First of all, we need to tell them about the love of God. We need to tell them what the word of God says in John 3:16. We talk about John 3:16. We talk about it a lot because it's true. Christ did. The word of God says that God so loved the world that he gave himself. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the word let us know that we are like watchmen as well. We're watchmen on the wall. And it's just like, I like to give scenarios. It's just as if we were in a fort. And we're up there and we're looking, we're on the gate. And we are looking for the enemy. We're watching out for the enemy. Well, the devil is your enemy. The devil is your enemy. Satan is your enemy. We're watching for him, for the people's soul. And then you give them warning. You give them, let them know. If you're on the gate and you're watching them, you got to let them know the enemy is out there, because if you don't, the enemy going to come in and the enemy will devour them. Well, they would have had a chance if we would have told them and we have warned them and let them know, hey, you know, this is not the way to do it. Christ has made the way. He paid the price 2,000 years ago for me, because I wasn't always right. I didn't always live the way that I should live. I wasn't perfect. But you know what? Christ came into my life, and God gave me a new vision. He gave me a new way of looking at things. He gave me the word of God. He changed my life. And you know what? I love you. Maybe I'm just meeting you, but because God loves you, I love you. I don't want you to die and go to hell, because that's the person's destination that doesn't get it right, that doesn't hear the word of God, that doesn't obey the word of God. I don't want you. I just met you. If you just met them. But you got to tell them. You got to tell that son, that daughter. You got to tell the person that are working in that supermarket or wherever they may be. You know, you got to let them know about Jesus. You know, I've made it sometime what I do. I take my, I go to fast food chains or wherever, a grocery store. I have usually most of the time, sometimes I have my tracks with me. And if the work is working, if I go through the drive-in, you know, then I have a track. You know, I have a track sometimes to hand them the track. And they are, most of them are so grateful and thankful for it. And so, therefore, I'm letting them know that I care for their soul. And the information that's in there is concerning them. It's not concerning me. It's concerning them, because they need to know Jesus. They don't know. They don't necessarily need to know who I am, but they certainly need to know who Jesus is. So therefore, we're being those watchmen. We got to be watchmen on the wall, because if we don't be those watchmen on the wall, then these people, they will not have a chance. They will not have a chance. Well, when we look at the word of God in Matthew, that I believe the fifth chapter and 13 through the 16th verse, I've got some notes down for you tonight. It says, ye are, and you got to thing personally. You gotta really deal with this because it's very important. It's Christ talking to us. It let us know that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it then be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of man. So therefore, think of yourself as salt. I like salt. I'm not someone that overdo it, but I like salt for seasoning. And therefore, if I don't have anything that I know some people don't allow to have salt, but I'm talking about, just think about the seasoning, being able to be seasoned, things that you eat. Most people don't like it bland. If there's any way for them to not be bland or not to be tasty, they will want something in there to spruce it up. And there are other things that they have in order to make it season. But we're talking about salt right now. We are the salt of the earth. We are what gives the people flavor. And you know what? We have to be very careful because, you know, it's not about us, but it's about the Christ that lives within us. That's why I like Paul when Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is the Christ that lives in me and the life that I now live. I'm not talking about before, but the life that I now live, he's not talking about before because he knew what kind of life he lived. He was a bad man. He was an arrogant man. He was a man that thought he had it together. But the word tells us, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. It's not me anymore. The Christ that lives in me, I'm now in the flesh. I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. So therefore, if we don't have any salt, we don't have any flavor. If we're just like the world, it's just like we're blending in with the world. I don't want to be a blender. I've never had a desire that I could recall since I've been saved to be a blender. It's not my thing to blend. I don't want to be a blender. I want to be one that's going to be that spokesman for Christ, one that's going to be about Christ's vision, one that's going to let the light shine. Now, I don't know how your summation of what you think, but this is, I want to be salt that people will want to, what I say, according to the word of God, nothing, no doctrine that I've made up, but it's the word of God that will make a difference in my life and their life, you see, because if you don't have any season, salt itself, if it don't have its flavor, then lost its flavor. The word God tells it is good for nothing but to thrown down and trampled under the foot of men. Then it tells us, let us know, you know, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a candle, a lamp, unto put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light unto all who are in the world. So it let us know that we should stand out. We should make a difference, not in trying to make ourselves stand out, because the word of God, when you're seasoned with salt, seasoned with the word of God, if you're a watchman, if you're one that has the word of God in you, it should make a difference. You're not trying to, we should not be one that trying to make it, but let it shine. Let it shine. Just like the lamp, we don't have to make it. We plug it in, and it's going to automatically shine. If you get plugged into the word, you're going to automatically shine. You know, I like this tonight. I like this, and I hope you're getting a refreshed. I hope that your faith is being increased. I pray that you have been awakened, that you can understand what God is saying to us as ambassadors for him, but we are his representative. the word said, let your light so shine before men that they will see, that they may see your good works and to glorify the Father which is in heaven. We're going to take 2 minutes, and we're going to give Evangelist William 2 minutes and to comment, to make her next comment. Evangelist William.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. And I was just really feasting off of that word because that's a very, very good word. We are the salt of the earth. And if we lose our flavor, the Bible says we're good for nothing. And then as I listened to that same parable that Jesus was giving his disciples by the fact that we are the salt of the earth, McCoy covered the next scripture that says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Well, I would love to tie that up with our subject tonight, our commission. Our commission. We have been commissioned to go forth and bring souls into the kingdom, pull souls from the lake of fire. And when we think about the commission that we have, you think about who gave you that commission. It was Jesus. He has commissioned us and commanded us to go forth. And in that very same parable, I love the word that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And because we have the Great Commission, sometimes all we got to do is show up in the grocery store, a job, or in our neighborhood. You might walk out to the mailbox, but you might have just come out of your prayer closet, and your neighbor is looking and noticing. Your neighbor might be saying, wow, I sure want to have what you have. They can see a light that you don't even know that's really shining because of Jesus Christ, the light himself, living on the inside of us. And it is so, so, so important. It is so prevalent, and it's just necessary for us to realize that now more than ever, we have got to be who we are. We are a chosen generation. We are people of God. We are the saints of God. And the saints of God are his mouthpiece, his eyesight, his hands, his legs. God have commissioned us to go forth, and he wants to use us. Even as Jesus Christ took that thing up, and he told us, think not that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And we need to take that and run with it, that Jesus Christ came to save them that were lost. And if we don't go forth, who else is he going to use? He wants to use us to go forth and tell somebody that it's time to be saved. It's time to repent. People are going through all kind of struggles today. All kind of things are happening, not only on the job, but in their very households. Mothers against daughters, fathers against sons. And you know and I know your children hating on one another, and they're divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It's time to let Jesus Christ take full control of your household, and except we start at home and go forth and tell somebody about Jesus, then things are going to get worse. But God have enough laborers. He have enough of us. When I say laborers, I'm talking about the saints of God. There is enough of us to tell somebody that it's time to be saved. And listen. I know we cannot preach at them and just put it down their throat, because the Bible says, with loving kindness have I drawn, so do thee likewise. And in my conclusion, let's go forth, people. Let's tell somebody. I was listening to Dr. McCoy. She'd take a track with her in the grocery store or wherever. And it reminded me, I was going through McDonald's, and this is just a quick testimony. I was going through McDonald's, and I was talking to the Lord, and I was praying, and it was in the morning time during breakfast time, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, pay for the car behind you. And I almost started to conversate with God, but God morning. For the person behind you. So I asked the cashier, how much is the car behind me? How much is their bill? She told me, and I said, I'm going to pay for them. I said, but please give them this tract. When you give them their receipt, give them this tract and let them know that God loved them and it's time to be saved. Back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
What an awesome testimony of God's goodness. What an awesome testimony of what God was doing when God touched your heart, when you truly are born again. And that's the way I feel about really born again believers, that it's not an I thing, but it's a thing that Christ has come in and Christ has made a difference in our lives. Well, you know what? There was a story that was told about Martinelli, who received, $25,000 for singing only twice. Could you imagine somebody singing and they were paid, the individual was paid $25,000 for only singing twice. You have a program and they get $25,000 for just singing two songs. Well, you know what? Paul and Silas, they sang one night, come on, in a prison. Do you not recall that? And their song was not rendered with the skill of the harmony of that of Martinelli. But its tenderness touched the heart of the keeper of the prison, and it echoed through, and the angel crowded the streets of heaven, and the listening king rewarded those who sang with crown of glory that will gleam in beauty throughout eternal ages. They sang because they had the Spirit of the Lord. They sang because they were saved. They sang because even though that they were in prison, oh my God, that's, you know, I believe it's something, class, that we can think about. Sometimes we be in difficult situations in our life. I mean, sometimes we don't have, maybe not have the money to pay the light bill or the water bill or the mortgage or whatever it may be. We may be in a situation, in a really situation, a tight situation, like Paul and Silas was. But they decided that I'm not going to grumble about this thing. And I'm not going to complain about it, but we're going to sing as unto God. And I believe because they weren't grumbling and because they weren't complaining, that song had the anointing. God anoint them, anoint the song as they sang. And God touched the heart of the keeper of the prison, and the song went out throughout the prison because of the fact that they sang it unto God. It came to me that song that I sang because I'm happy. I sang because I'm free. There is a song that ought to be in our heart even through difficult times. I'm talking to you, class, that even through times in our life when we don't understand what's going on, that song will build you up, because you know what? It's that song will be unto God. That song is what the word of God that's ministering to us. And sometimes I found myself when I go out and I minister to people, not that I'm a soloist, because I'm not, but I don't sing like Martinelli. I don't maybe not sing like some other people sing. But I sang because when God put a song into my heart, I sang it because there's a message in that song. I thank God that people's heart can be touched through a song. Their heart can be touched when we move out of the comfort of ourselves and to allow God to have his way in our lives. Sometimes we have too much of time for thinking about what's going on in our life that we cannot do what God has called us to do. We throw a sword in the things of this world until we cannot answer the call. A matter of us and not a matter of someone else. What's happening in someone's life. So I thank God for Paul and Silas as they came, because it brought happiness to someone else and to other people as well. Well, we thank God that God has made a difference in our lives. An immortal soul, listen, is beyond all price. There is no trouble too great, humiliation too deep, no suffering is too severe, and no love is too strong. No labor is too hard, and no expense is too large, but that it is worth it if it is spent in the effort to win a soul. I mean, what a God that we serve. And many times we do things, and that just remind me, when I just read that, and I just said that, it reminded me of Evangelist William, as, I don't know what she had in her purse, I don't know what she had in her pocket, her pocketbook or purse or whatever, but because God put in her heart to pay for the person behind her, that person went away knowing that this person, this car that was before me, somebody in there cared about me. God used that person to care for my soul. God used this person to help me. Even maybe the person could have enough money, but that's not the point. The point is that got their attention. The point is that she was able to give them a tract, which the Word of God was in it. We don't know the mentality. We don't know what they were thinking about. We don't know whether or not that person was like the woman that was in Kings. How she was going to eat their last, she and her son, and they were going to cook this food, and they were going to eat it, and they were going to die. We don't know whether or not they were thinking about suicide, or they were depressed. We don't know, but we always be led by the Spirit. And I just thank God for that, because you can't put a price on someone's soul. The only thing that we can do is to do what God would do. He gave his life that the world can eat up if they only take it and they only accept it. And he freely gave it. And he didn't make us pay for salvation. Tell us that you got to give me $500 or $1 million for you to get saved. He didn't put a price on it, but he gave his life. He allowed them to take his life. He gave his life that we can have a right to the tree of life. God loves the soul more than all creation. Because we know this flesh is for a while. It's not for eternity. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he fashioned it after his own image and made it like himself. Every soul has departed from God and gone astray, and God has brought the soul back again with a price, and that price by Jesus Christ. God loves the soul with an everlasting love. He loves us. He paid the price for us. But do you not know that Satan hates the soul? He hates the soul. He hates your soul. He hates my soul. He hates people souls. So therefore, that's why he does what he did. And Satan's enmity towards God, he is using all his energy. I'm talking about Satan. He used all his energy, using every snare, his uttermost cunning, employment. He's trying to employ every by any means with the single purpose of ruining the soul of man. And that's what he's doing. And that's why we have to do what we are doing on today. And that's what we have to do because it's many words that we can use, but we have to be like adjective. We have to work and we have to be expressive to show action. We have to really walk in the light of God's word. We have to be like God. We have to love like God. Because Satan wants to really think about it and to describe what Satan is like and what to do. He wants to ruin man's soul. He don't want man to be saved. It's not enough to take the flesh and destroy the flesh, but he wants to take his soul. He don't want people to be saved. He don't want people to acknowledge Christ. He don't want them to accept Christ. But it's time for us as being apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, fishers of men, ambassadors of God, to go and to do the will of the Father so that we can make other fishers of men. Listen, I'm getting ready to close. When a million eternities have each life lived their endless age and have rolled by into the unthinkable past and time is no more. I'm talking about time. The soul will be living a conscious personality and endowed with perpetual life, reunited with the body. God has said, and he who wins souls is wise. That comes from Proverbs, the 11th chapter and the 30th verse. I know most of you already know that. But Christ said, he who wins souls is wise. If you want to be wise, you ought to be able to souls of the kingdom of God. For the Bible says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You can read that in Daniel 12 and 3. Well, it is so important that we realize who God is and what he has for us. Now, we have talked somewhat kind of lengthy on commission, our commission, which is very important. And then we talked about compassion, and that compassion was based on Martinelli and Paul and Silas, when they had compassion and how they didn't think it was robbery. They didn't think they were too good. They didn't think they were unworthy that they couldn't sing in prison, but they had a song in their heart, even through the things that they were going through. And then we talk about how Satan hates the soul, and he does. He hates people. So that's why he works so hard trying to mess people up, trying to get them to live out of the will of the Father. But when we see compassion, when we look at compassion, compassion is the heartbeat of our Savior's ministry. He has compassion on people. You have to ask yourself, the question is, how much of compassion do you have on people? Are you a compassionate person? And I think compassion comes from God. I think true compassion comes from God. And when we look at the word, it says, but when you saw, when I read this, you're going to remember, and you're very familiar with it, I'm quite sure. It says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and graciously long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. The first one came from Matthew 9 and 36 when we talked about the compassion of Christ, and we talked about how he fed, he saw the multitude, how he was moved with compassion with them. And then it tells us then about God being of compassion. And he is very that. Heaven is geared for redemption. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. No man who ever had a glimpse of hell would ever want to hear a fellow man, a fellow human being, to go to hell. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Class, we thank you once again for being here to Jehovah Jireh International Institution by the means of God's Holy Spirit, by being compassionate, by having that, knowing that God has given you that commission to go forth for him, knowing that Satan hates your soul and that Satan hates the souls of the people that are out there as well. Again, the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you. God, we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done and all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you again, once again, for the word of God being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank you, God, because the word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. We thank you for every student. We thank you, God, for every advisor. I thank God for Evangelist Williams. And Father God, for all the students, all the online students. Father, bless them. Keep them. Father, bless them in their going and bless them in their coming out. Continue to make them head and not the tail. And for this, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you once again. We thank God for Jehovah Jireh International Institution. We're looking forward to hear from you at the next appointed time. Bless you and the best.